City Limits is a production of WAER, Syracuse Public Media, and is funded by generous grant support from the Central New York Community Foundation, Grossman St. Amour CPAs, National Grid, and listeners like you. To support the project, visit the City Limits About page at citylimitsproject.org.
41,000 Syracuse residents were below the poverty line in 2016.
At its core, poverty is about pushing down instead of having an opportunity to go up.
It's, generally speaking, lack of access to opportunity.
This is City Limits, a poverty project.
Welcome to City Limits. I'm Chris Bolt. You've probably driven past Jamesville Prison here on Seneca Turnpike at some point, and you might have imagined what life is like for those inside, or for that matter, anyone in prison. You might not have thought much about what life is like once people come out.
Poverty has an impact on so many things, but if folks can't get into employment and can't earn income and can't pay child support and can't find housing because of their criminal histories, I don't know how we move the needle on poverty without addressing that.
You know, and that's very important for, you know, us as social workers or whatever to be that support system and be there for that individual, because some of them walk out and they have nothing. You know, there is no support system. There is no family. There is nobody that they can lean on. So, you know, it's important for us to understand that and, you know, just be everything all in one.
That's that starting from scratch part, man.
Yeah, I'm trying, man.
That's one of those hurdles that it's like, okay, all right, now we got to start from ground zero.
But it's good, because I always start over anyway. Every time I get into trouble or something, I always end up starting over. But it's good.
I want to tell you a little more about Kellen Hill, who's just come out of his latest stint in jail. He let me sit in on a meeting there with Isaac Rivers, who you heard just before, at Center for Community Alternatives. At CCA, they try to smooth out some of the myriad barriers an ex-inmate faces trying to re-enter society if they come out of a place like this, like Jamesville or someplace else. To begin with was Mike Pasquale, who's Director of Reintegration Services at CCA. He points out the troubling connection between poverty and criminal justice involvement, i.e. anyone who gets convicted of a crime, goes to jail, then has that record that follows them around. But before I get into more about Kellen's story, a couple of facts here you might want to, and society has to, think about. Prison sentences are just that. A period of time, 90 days in jail, 5 years in prison, 25 to life, whatever the length. And however you want to frame it, maybe paying a debt to society, discipline, punishment, keeping violent felons off the streets. And you know what's true of just about everyone who gets one of those sentences to jail or prison? They come out.
Let's help these people, as opposed to saying, let's continue to penalize these people, is the way to go, because that's what's going to have a payoff in recidivism, in tax receipts, in child support, in public safety. Now, I realize that runs counter to the conventional wisdom, because it's much easier to say we need to not be soft on crime, but folks who go into incarceration, 9 times out of 10, probably 99 times out of 100, are going to come out, so we've got to figure out how we can do right by them and make it easier for them to be productive citizens. Too often we're about continuous punishment.
It's one thing to say while you're incarcerated, hey, you know, I want to go home, I want to get a job, and I want to do the right thing, but you know, you get out and you go back to your neighborhood and all these people are waiting on you, and the first thing they offer you is, hey, look, you know, I got some drugs for you, you know, I got some money for you, and it's like you have nothing, you know, so the temptation of getting back out there and making money, and you know, you start making money and then it's like, you know, I can't work a regular job.
So you've briefly met Isaac Rivers, Mike Pasquale, and Kellen Hill. Each has a connection to jail and getting out of jail, and I'm going to spell out how each plays a role in how someone might avoid poverty when facing the prospect of trying to get a job, a home, a life, when that person has a record.
gone for a while, especially me, I was gone since 2016. So when I was gone for a while, it's like, man, what's the first thing you do when you get out? You know, you don't know. And being in two different jails and then coming here. And then
you met Kellen Hill a minute ago, 28 years old, and has been in and out of jail since age 16.
You know, where I'm from Orange County, Newburgh, New York. We don't have this type of help that they have up here.
It was in jail that he found out about the reentry program that Center for Community Alternatives offers. They actually go into the jail to get people knowledgeable about it.
So when I came home, Isaac called me, like 2 days after I was home. Yeah, let's go. Let's get this started. Let's get this going.
Were you ready to go?
I was ready to go because I already...
Isaac Rivers is the CCA contact for Kellen and is just trying to start with the basics.
Jamesville jail. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm ready to go. I clear my mind. Like, you got to be really physically and mentally ready for this, because a lot of people, like you said, they go on the street, they don't change their people, places, and things. They keep them the same, and that's what ends up back in the same situation.
There's a lot that has to be handled for Kellen to get situated, but there are also realities about what was lost during several years in prison.
That's the worst part about it.
If he don't know, that,
if he don't know, I'm never going to find him.
Yeah,
and I need those phones, like, those. I paid a lot of money for those phones. Yeah. That's my life. That phone was my life. I got everything in that phone. Not even just the phone. I have my social security card, my birth certificate. I even have credit cards with money on it, prepaid cards with money on it.
A huge dilemma for someone coming out of prison is where to go. Back to the same place where they lived and got into criminal activity. Most people agree that's pretty much a recipe for getting into the same trouble, maybe with the same people. The other option is almost guaranteed poverty, at least for a while, with things pretty stacked against you.
You seem to have a pretty good attitude about going forward. Where did that change come about?
It came when I did my first bid, you know, because, like I said, I'm not from here, so I didn't know nobody in there. But, you know, I still was on the same mind state. If they let me out, I'm going back to doing what I'm doing and things like that. But, you know, really sitting in jail for a while and, you know, losing the people that you had, girlfriends and things like that, it really stuck to me, like, well, you know what? If people was that quick to leave, you know, maybe I should just stick to myself like that, you know? And then that's when I started changing and talking to older people being locked up, you know, doing real time and stuff. So, you know, that made me really think about my life, like, maybe that's the best route to go.
So let me ask you this, since you've been out, you know, like, how things been coming together for you? Like, you know, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling really good, you know, with the help from you, basically, you know, from my first visit, I feel great. You know,
so he has to want to go through this period of being without, resist the pull to go back to a life of crime, even though that might mean some quick money and even people who provide some camaraderie, a little sense of family.
Let me ask you about, like, the pressure that comes with, you know, being released and, you know, that whole reentry part, you know, because, like, it's so much work to be done, and it's like sometimes that pressure can just be overwhelming in itself. Have you dealt with that at all since you've been released? Or
I have. I sit to myself a lot, so I'm home a lot.
Yeah.
You know, by myself. So what I do is I sit, I write down things. Like, writing was always the best thing for me. You know, I don't have people to call and talk to like that. So,
yeah.
You know, a lot of people don't understand the shoes you've been in, so they really can't relate. So I just sit there and think, you know, to myself, I ask myself questions I don't answer.
Yeah.
I ask myself questions, you know. What do you want? What's the outcome? You're just coming home still. You're still fresh home. It's only been like 2 weeks.
Kellen does have a place to live, a room at a house where someone is trying to help him get his second chance. And just a couple weeks out of jail, he's saying he'll be okay with a pretty modest start to a new life.
You're starting at the bottom. That's where it's going to be for the time being. You know, anything is better than nothing. So I think about, I'm a logic person. I think about what I had last week and what I got this week, what I worked for this week. So at least I could look forward to having some money. Last week, I ain't had no money. I can't say, man, screw this job, because I might not know when the next time I'm going to get another job. Or this job could have helped me build up, or, you know, you never know.
But you'll be okay taking something that's, if you're stocking shelves, that's a bore, kind of a boring job, you're okay
I've
to start
it
there knowing that it could move to something else?
Anything's better than nothing. You know, most people won't settle for that because they used to being in the street. So most times people think fast money is the best money. It's not all the time, because that comes with a lot of consequences behind that.
of people who come home and they're faced with homelessness. So that is at the forefront of everything. Then from there, income, employment, you know, and that could be a major challenge.
Isaac Rivers starts working with ex-inmates just a day or two after they're out.
Never had a job in their life or, you know, slim to none, you know, so that would be the second issue. Then you have mental health and substance abuse and, you know, bad relationships with family.
The Center for Community Alternatives program tries to put some pieces together so someone can get a foothold in a new life. The better that works, the more likely the ex-offender can avoid living in poverty for too long, or a sometimes inevitable result of poverty, reverting to crime. The work is logistical, getting an ID, connecting with social services, maybe finding housing, working on a resume, but also emotional support to encourage the person.
A common example would be, let's say you take an individual prior to getting arrested and being sent to jail. Let's say this individual was living with his girlfriend or boyfriend or something like that. And throughout the duration of this person's incarceration, that person may have moved on with their life. So they can't go back to that situation. Or, you know, let's say if this person had issues with substance abuse and their family is, you know, they've been down this road so many times with the person, it's like, well, you know, we can't help you. So those are some of the examples that one would face with homelessness.
Another problem is it takes time. Getting signed up for social services takes 45 days, sometimes 6 or 7 months to secure housing, and that's with a public assistance budget of only $386 a month. And remember, the person's trying to get a job with a criminal record. And we've reported in the past on how tough that can be when you have to check that box on a job application, but that's a story for another time. Even so, Isaac finds some companies are supportive of people with a rap sheet.
They understand the situation. They understand that, you know, a lot of the people that I work with are coming out of jail and, you know, they have a criminal history, you know, and whatever the case may be. So, you know, we go into that. And if the person, you know, doesn't have certain convictions, primarily sex offenses.
I could think sex or child. You know, would limit a lot of stuff that you would want.
Yeah. Sex offenses and arson, you know, those are like the two biggest things that, you know, employers, along with landlords as well, you know, they're a little hesitant about. But then, you know, you have other employers that's just like, you know, hey, I believe in second chances.
He's quick to add, obtaining the job is one part, while maintaining the job is another. That's why he keeps in touch with both employers and clients for months or even years. And work, especially for someone who hasn't really been punching a time clock for years, is not always an easy routine to get into.
So, you know, for some people, you know, it's, well, I'm going to work till I get my first check, and then, you know, we're going back to the streets. And trying to break that cycle, you know, that mentality. You know, like that's one of the challenges that we face.
And so, some people he works with just aren't prepared for the waiting of a stable income, a place to live, and other assistance they might need.
I understand that a lot of people, you know, they want that instant gratification and it doesn't always happen. So I try to find something, you know, to meet their needs at that time, whether, you know, it's getting them connected to DSS or, you know, giving them resources to different landlords and different programs and things like that. I just try to give them something to keep them engaged because I know that if you don't, then it's a possibility that that person may say, hey, you know, this program can't do anything for me. So, you know, let me go out and try to do it on my own. And before you know it, this person is back incarcerated.
So let's backtrack a little on Isaac's story. Over here on Syracuse's west side is the James Geddes Housing Development. If you look around the west side, you see evidence of recent redevelopment, but this was and is still one of Syracuse's most impoverished areas. There's a connection here for Isaac and a good reason why he understands and empathizes with Kellen and his other clients.
I was born in the Bricks. Do you know where that is? Mm-hmm. Southside Housing Complex. I was born there. My father died when I was 3. He died in our apartment, and then we ended up transferring to the west side, James Geddes apartment complex, and that's where, you know, I spent a lot of my time. I want to say maybe around the age 12 or 13, that's when I started engaging in, you know, street activities, you know, selling drugs, participating, you know, in gang stuff and, you know, all of that. And by the age of 16, I was in prison.
Isaac uses that past to gain rapport with the ex-offenders with which he works. He remembers fighting the same dilemmas and pathways that keep people on the streets and on the road back to jail.
I would have to, just being honest, I would say prison didn't change me for the better. You know, it just...
It didn't scare you straight or anything? Yeah.
No, it just gave me more insight on how to be a better criminal. And I got out when I was about 18. And I went right back to the life, you know. I wanted to come out and get a job and go to school and do all of those things, but I'm going right back to the community that I left, right back to the same friends that, you know, that I did all these things with. You know, they're waiting on me, you know.
And you want to know how that goes? Isaac actually came to CCA when he got out of jail the first time, but the program couldn't match up against the flash of the narcotics trade with thousands of dollars in his pocket and some drugs, he says, when he was just a day out of jail.
Well, it gives him insight on, you know, what our people face, you know. I'm not even going to say our people. I'm going to say people of the inner city communities and people that just go through struggles. This is what they deal with. This is what they face. And I think that it's important for the listeners to know this so that they can get a solid understanding of, you know, some of the things that goes on and what people have to deal with.
I think when individuals come out of incarceration, it takes time, especially if they're in they're homeless and they're in a shelter. It takes a lot of time and effort to figure out, to get one's bearings. And
Mike Pasquale is director of reintegration services at CCA.
Where to go for help, what they have to do for parole or probation, and then balance all of that sort of stuff out. And that can be, you know, for any of us, that would be a whirlwind.
He has kind of a broad perspective on the two-way connection, if you will, between poverty and criminal activity or criminal history.
I think if you look at the census tracts that are highest poverty in Syracuse, they will overlap with the census tracts of where people are coming back from prison to, and likely where they went to prison from. Criminal justice issues and solutions related to poverty are sort of really overlap and overlap strongly. So unless we figure out a way to be more just and more welcoming of folks who have criminal histories, especially when they come home from prison, I think it's going to be more challenging to move the dial, as it were, on poverty.
Like Isaac Rivers, he's had some luck with employers willing to take on people coming out of jail. Mike finds a lot of times they're just interested in whether the person can do the job. As for the program, he singles out relationships and a long-term commitment to the individual as a key to success.
By the time the person enrolled in the program, he was homeless. He was living under a bridge and went through our program. We were able to put him to work on a temporary basis and help him find a permanent job. So in, you know, 2 or 3 years, this is an individual who moved from living under a trestle to having his own apartment and making a life and living for himself and connecting with his family.
And the success stories are what keeps him going.
It's gratifying to see how enthusiastic they become when they get involved in a program like that, because the risk of being schlocky, it gives them a sense of hope. Because I think a lot of folks come out of prison and the message that they've gotten is that you're not going to succeed. There are all these barriers. There are ways, sometimes with assistance, but a lot of times with assistance, that you can move forward.
Mike says the Syracuse and Onondaga County community is actually pretty rich in resources to help people. It's just a matter of kind of shepherding clients through the hoops. But more, in order to really make a difference and avoid poverty, which is inevitably going to lead to more crime and more people going back to jail, he'd like to see a change in the community's mindset.
When we think about people who are coming out of incarceration, who have been involved in the justice system, that the default would be to figure out how we can engage them in the civic life of the community, as opposed to keeping them on the periphery of the civic life of the community. Better access to housing, better access to jobs, and a welcoming attitude, as opposed to, oh, why would I want to associate with you because you have a criminal history? I think there are a lot of people who approach it positively, but I don't know that as a society that that's our default. And I think if we can find a way from the top, from our political leaders who can talk differently about justice-involved individuals, that would, I would like to think, trickle down.
Poverty, as both a cause and a result of crime, has been written about in Peter Edelman's book, Not a Crime to Be Poor. The Georgetown law professor points out fines on low-level offenses that can't be paid by the poor result in jail sentences and then lead to lost jobs, lost homes, even losing custody of children in a vicious cycle. Longer prison sentences only make things worse once those inmates come out of jail.
My main goal and plan is to really pretty much get my life in order. You know,
maybe things will work out differently for Kellen Hill as he goes through the CCA reentry program.
Just staying on the straight and narrow from there on out, you know, trying to get my life back.
Do you want to stay in this area?
I'm eventually stay in this area. It's kind of really good. Like I said, I don't have family or friends up here, you know, so it works out best for me. No distractions. I can just stay focused.
For City Limits, I'm Chris Bolt.
Thanks for listening to City Limits, a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media. Find more from this series at citylimitsproject.org and subscribe in Apple Podcasts for automatic delivery of new episodes.